Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nullcast. Bud, want to encourage everybody to go back and listen to our thorough Delaware State preview that we did earlier in the week, as this will have a little bit of variance from our traditional Thursday night spot, where we devote that mainly to looking at the opponent ahead. So tonight we're going to do a little bit of a special pod, going to look at let's call it a defensive coordinator hot board.
Hot board.
Yes. So it'll be a lot of fun to do. Obviously, these are all just potential replacements, but no better partner to have on a hot board show than our good friends at Louisiana Hot Sauce. I want to thank them, as always, for making podcasts like these possible. And we're going to throw a lot of names out there, talk about how much of a realistic possibility they are, and kind of make our way through. Gosh, we had like, 55, 60 names sent back to us?
There's a lot of names.
Via email, tweets, everything else. So we got a lot of people to cover, and we'll spend more time on others. But, Bud, let's jump into this.
All right, man. As always, thank Louisiana Hot Sauce. This hot board is brought to you by Louisiana Hot Sauce, of course. How can we have a hot board without hot sauce?
Yeah. Can't deny that synergy.
No, that is some synergy. We're going to start with the 32-degree and under candidates. So these are the candidates that we believe are not legitimate candidates for whatever reason, and we'll give you the name, their current position, and why we don't think they're actually a legitimate candidate. And we're going to go through these pretty quickly because I think we have about 40 of these. You want to just start ripping these off?
Yeah, let's do it. First name submitted, Jim Leavitt, Oregon defense coordinator.
No, he was also at USF and did a great job there, but he wants to be a head coach. That's pretty well known. I don't see him leaving Oregon to come to Florida State when he could get the Kansas State job fairly soon.
Another name we had submitted a lot, Alex Grinch.
Honestly, I wonder if Florida State fans have ever heard of this guy before, that like ESPN made a big deal about him when they played USC, and USC had all his offensive linemen out. Washington State's defense is not that good. It had a really good game against USC. As far as I can tell, there's no connection I can find to Jimbo Fisher. And he's a guy as well, I think, could be a head coaching candidate pretty soon. I know that there are a lot of people at Missouri who were thinking if they got rid of Barry Odom, he could be the head coach there. So for those reasons, I'm going to list him as extremely unlikely, 32 degrees.
We'll stay within the same program, bud. Pete Kwiatkowski?
Kwiatkowski, I think. I'm going to say no. He's Washington's defensive coordinator and has worked with Chris Peterson for, I think, 9 years now. And that typically those guys don't leave for lateral type jobs. Clearly Florida State's a better job than Washington. However, it's still you're still a DC. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Right, yeah. And excuse me, he is Washington's defense coordinator. Actually, a lot of candidates from the same state there. We will stay in the same program on this one, though. And Jimmy Lake, another name that was thrown at us pretty frequently, Washington's co-defense coordinator.
Yeah, look, Jimmy Lake is I think, a really good coach, an African-American candidate as well, which we know Florida State, in my opinion, needs to add more of those on the staff and needs to get younger. But as far as I can tell, no real connection to the Southeast and no real connection to Jimbo Fisher. And I don't think that's something that seems all that likely.
A name that a lot of people will have a pre-existing familiarity with, one DJ Elliott, Kentucky defense coordinator, obviously a former position coach here at Florida State.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to come back to work for Jimbo.
Telling me there's members of that staff that wouldn't eagerly run back into the coaching opportunities in Tallahassee with Jimbo Fisher as their boss again?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe I'm saying that.
Rex Ryan, a man who needs no introduction.
I think that could be a great hire. Yeah, but does he want to? He's doing TV work now. He was a former NFL defensive coordinator and head coach and did a pretty good job and never really got a quarterback, I guess. And look, I don't think Rex Ryan wants to come and do the recruiting thing, right? And he's, what is he, late 50s? No, I just don't think that's very realistic.
You could argue that Rex Ryan was more interested in doing the TV thing during time when he was a head coach in the NFL. I'm not sure now that he's got a chance to do TV that he's looking to jump back into, incredibly demanding position in college football. So right there with you on that one. Tosh Lupoy, Alabama's defensive end coach.
Yeah, look, he's really more of a recruiter. And I think Florida State does need some actual coaching and coordination in its defensive coordinator spot. And so I just don't think that's a real realistic option there. No experience to my knowledge calling plays. No, I just don't think Tosh is a real legit candidate.
But we'll go to another member of the Alabama staff and another name that people will be particularly familiar with, Jeremy Pruitt.
There's no way. Given how he left, no.
Yeah.
Also, he makes over $1 million a season and has a 3-year guaranteed deal. So that's going to be why we have a no on here for a couple of these guys. Florida State's not going to pay, assuming that they buy Charles Kelly out, that's going to cost them like $2-something. And then they're not going to be able to buy Charles Kelly out for $2-something and then buy out a defensive coordinator at the best program in America for $3 million and then pay him another $3 million on top of that. It's just not going to happen.
Here's another good name, and it's odd how frequently you hear it in conversation, and I guess people just start to assume particular styles of ball and maybe think that people's background is on another side of the ball than it may particularly be, but one Les Miles.
Yeah, Les Miles was really good at stopping offense, so I understand why people would like this one, but he was good at stopping his own offense. He's a career offensive line coach and offensive coordinator and is absolutely not a candidate.
Another interesting name, but one that we saw multiple times. Maybe I can certainly understand where people would submit this one. I like the idea, and the side effects would be pretty nice as well. Brent Venables.
Yeah, look, this is kind of, well, there's a lot of guys that fall in this category. He's just absolutely not going to do that. Like, he's not going to leave Clemson for Florida State. I think if he's going to go anywhere, it's going to be a head coach, maybe Kansas State.
Don Brown, Michigan defense coordinator.
Yeah, look. Don Brown has given Jimbo fits for years, and they've had some great battles because Fisher's also given him trouble. But he is, you know, he's very much older. He loves working for Harbaugh. He's got a great defense up there. He's also very much a Northeast guy, right? And you're going to need a good recruiter in this spot. And Don Brown is not a spring chicken and has no real ties to the Southeast. Like, he's career Northeastern dude, just not a fit.
Todd Orlando, a name that we had sent to us a couple of times, Texas's defense coordinator.
Yeah, I just don't see him leaving Tom Herman to go work for Jimbo. Like, that's a lateral move.
Derek Brooks.
Love Derek Brooks. I think he actually could do a really good job. But again, you don't want to get into the habit of hiring a person who has absolutely no coaching or play calling experience, right?
Like that would be a bad habit to get into, absolutely. Yeah. And you need... If you're Jimbo Fisher, you got to make sure this is a sure thing. You can't be taking too large of a leap of faith here.
Yeah, look, also, if you're Brooks, I mean, Derek is really bright. I've seen him do some 7-on-7 coaching. However, part of being a defensive coordinator is also managing the defensive coaches under you, and he doesn't really have any experience doing that either. So it's just not and I don't think he would want to be the defensive coordinator of Florida State. Like, that's not a job. I think Derek's, I don't say above that, but I think he's got bigger things going on.
Think Derek Brooks would handle getting yelled at by Jimbo Fisher particularly well?
Yeah, probably not, no.
Yeah. Randy Shannon, yeah.
Randy Shannon is, like, probably the number one no on this list. Jimbo Fisher has consistently ripped his defenses every time they've played.
I was going to say, it was sure make things better in practice for Jimbo's offense.
Oh, my God, they would not be inches away. The defense would be literally miles away from stopping them ever in practice. No, Jimbo does not need to hire Randy Shannon. He needs Randy Shannon to go to one of his rivals again so he can keep putting up points. This is, by the way, assuming that Fisher's still here.
To be circled back to in perhaps a future soon-to-be-released podcast. Kane Womack, Bud, South Alabama's defense coordinator.
Yep, seems to have done a pretty good job there. I just don't know if he has enough experience or if there's a real connection to Jimbo. He's also the son of Dave Womack, and Dave Womack was at Ole Miss and at Georgia Tech, and I don't think that style of defense is really what Fisher wants to run. We also got Bob Diaco, who's Nebraska's head or defense coordinator, and I don't think that's a real realistic candidate either.
Interesting name here, Dave Huxtable, North Carolina State's DC.
Yeah, just too old and not enough track record of elite level success. So I just don't think that's a fit. Florida State can do better.
Yep. Name that I hear a lot here locally, Mel Tucker of University of Georgia.
You know, he was an NFL guy. He's Georgia's defensive coordinator. I don't think he's going to leave Kirby Smart. That's a guy to me who I think is trying to follow the Kirby Smart path of being a head coach somewhere. Now, I know we'll have a name later in the list that, and the argument, I think, if you think Mel Tucker is a legitimate candidate, and I really don't, is that you're getting out of Kirby Smart's shadow. But I don't know that Kirby Smart's shadow casts quite as long as Nick Saban's shadow, you know, for the whole Kirby need to get out of his shadow type argument or Pruitt or whatever.
Eric Chinder? Some of these names are killing me.
I actually don't know how to say this. Chinander, I think, or Chinander. He's the UCF defensive coordinator. He only has 2 years of defensive coordinator experience, which is more than some guys on this list, certainly. He was the linebackers coach at Oregon when their defense wasn't very good. He was also an NFL defensive line coach. Number one, I don't think he has any actual connection to Fisher. He seems to be pretty tied with Scott Frost, so I'm guessing when Frost gets a better job in about a month, he's probably going to be the DC at wherever that new place is. Number two, Fisher seems to prefer a guy who has more back-end coaching experience, and this guy was more of a line coach, so I'm going to say no to him. But creative names being suggested certainly by our listeners, a lot of them.
Impressed. John Hickok, Iowa State's defense coordinator.
Damn good football coach, but he's 57. I don't think he has any ties to Fisher. I mean, he'll be 58 next year. Again, that doesn't really fit to me with the idea that you need to get younger and hungrier on the staff. And you have way too many old dudes on the staff right now. And that's why you're starting to see the recruiting slip in large part. So I'm going to say no to him.
Ted Roof, former Auburn defense coordinator, certainly spent a lot of time at Georgia Tech as well.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to hire another Georgia Tech guy, given what you just had happen with Charles Kelly. I just think that's sort of the optics aren't there.
And if the optics aren't there for one Ted Roof, Bud, tell me what the optics would be for Brady Hoke.
Brady Hoke. That is not going to happen. Brady Hoke is not a legitimate defense coordinator candidate. He was an absolute disaster last year at Oregon in the 1 year that he was actually at DC.
Well, he's going to right the ship in Knoxville. So,
well,
probably not even a real candidate.
That's true. But Manny Diaz, man.
Manny Diaz. Good catch. Yeah, Diaz submitted a lot. No, that's not going to happen. He's not going to leave what he has coaching down there, coaching under Mark Rick, coaching with that program right now to be Florida State's defense coordinator.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that Florida State would absolutely have to blow them out of the water with an offer. And I think at this point, Miami would probably try to find any possible way to match. Because I can tell you, the one thing that's really causing that Miami team to win is sure as hell not its offense. Right? Mm-hmm. It's that defense. So I'm going to say no to Manny Diaz. Bud Foster as well is absolutely a no, not due to credentials. I mean, he's an awesome defensive coordinator. However, he is Vatek's defensive coordinator, and they pay him like $1.4 million. And he's also the associate head coach, and he loves working there. And just from people I talk to, doesn't express like any interest to leave at all. Mm-hmm. And Fuente's a pretty good guy to work for, apparently, just I'm talking to different people in the industry. So I'm going to say there's no chance on that one. And also no chance on Mike Elko, the Notre Dame defensive coordinator who was at Wake last year.
Yeah, really good hire by them, and a good job of going outside. I hate this phrase and try not to use it, but it was a little bit of an outside-the-box hire, went out and got a guy that just showed that he could coach at a school that didn't necessarily have big-time players all the time, and it was a nice, creative hire, and it's paid pretty rich dividends for him so far. Aaron Henry, North Carolina State's defensive back coach.
This is a good name on here. He played at Wisconsin, coached there briefly, played, I think, a little while in the NFL. Excellent recruiter. He's the DB coach, like you said, for NC State. NC State's DBs this year are not very good, but they also don't really have very much talent at all. So that's kind of an issue. I think he's a good coach, excellent recruiter, but just not enough experience, I think, at this point.
Kevin Kane, he is, Northern Illinois defense coordinator?
Yeah, Northern Illinois. Look, man, he's doing a great job this year. NIU's defense is nasty, and he's improved it a lot. But again, no real connection that I know of to Jimbo. No real experience recruiting the South that I know of. It just seems too tenuous a connection.
Vic Koning, guy that a lot of people remember for his time at Clemson, and believe he's currently at Troy.
Look, Vic Koning can coach, man. Like, he's a damn good football coach. How old do you think Vic Koning is?
Early 60s. I don't know.
He's turning 58 in a couple months. Kind of the same idea there. Like, look, Vic Koning did a very good job at Clemson in the late Tommy Bowden years, and that offense oftentimes hung him out to dry. He's been the Troy defense coordinator the last 3 years, and they've done a really good job there. But he's turning 58 soon. This is kind of the same thing. I don't think FSU wants to go with an older DC. I think they need to get younger on this staff. Because you're going to have a recruiting dip coming. I'm trying to tell people this. Like, you don't need just coaches. You need dudes who can bring in dudes.
Mm-hmm. Pete Golding, UTSA, that's Tennessee, San Antonio, defense coordinator, has pretty extensive roots in the Louisiana and Mississippi area.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting one. I hadn't considered that, but he's been a cornerbacks coach. The head coach of UTSA is Frank Wilson, who was forever LSU's running back coach and a really good recruiter in the New Orleans area. And Golding's a pretty good recruiter. I'm actually surprised people picked up on this name. But I don't know if he has enough actual experience, and I don't know if he has an actual Fisher connection or Saban connection. So I put him in the unlikely list.
Bo Pelini.
I think his defense that he runs is just too similar to what Mark Stoops runs. And at the time, we had heard that, you know, Fisher was trying to go in a different direction back in 2013 from what Stoops runs. He wants to go to more of a Saban-style defense and less to the Stoops-style defense. So I don't think he would do that. Additionally, Pelini is kind of a hothead, a lot.
Just a wee bit. Yeah,
I mean, that probably got him fired as much as anything at Nebraska. Like he was going 9-4 and 10-4 every year, and yet like he was so hard to deal with that they were like, oh, we're not going to accept these 10 wins a year.
That's worked out well.
Yeah, worked out well. He's also the head coach at Youngstown State, isn't he? And doing a pretty good job there. So I don't know if he wants to be a DC again. He may like being a head coach. Ingram, what about Wade Phillips?
Man, Wade Phillips.
Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator multiple times.
That'd be pretty awesome. It would. I mean, the problem is that he's employed and coaching in L.A. right now, and not at the collegiate level, but the professional level.
Is he with the Chargers? They kind of suck, man.
Right. He's with that new L.A. Rams team. He's coaching LaMarcus Joyner. That's what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. I think you have him appropriately placed here. Yeah, they're not going to get Wade Phillips. Also,
I'd take it.
How old is Wade Phillips? He's got to be like
I was
going to
say, you're damn the age. Go hire me a 28-year-old linebacker coach to even out Wade Phillips. I'm fine with
it. Oh, I'm definitely taking Wade Phillips. There's no doubt about it. But I'm also saying, like, I don't know if Wade Phillips wants to recruit. Mm-hmm. You know, the last time Wade Phillips coached college football was.
Oh.
You want to take a guess? You don't have his Wikipedia up, do you?
No, I don't.
Can you guess what decade it was in?
I was going with the late 80s.
Oh, no. You need to go back further.
Oh, okay. 1973.
75. He was the Kansas defensive line coach. Before that, Oklahoma State in 73. Lucher Stark High School in 1970 is the defensive coordinator. And he was a grad assistant at Houston in 69.
Give me Wade Phillips, Derek Nicholson, and those two will equal each other out.
Yeah, that was
just like Derek and... Derek and Damian go around. We'll handle the recruiting.
Yeah. Where's Derek Nicholson now?
He's at Southern Miss, isn't he?
I think you're right. Yeah. That could be interesting. Not as a DC. Right. But
Dean Hood.
Yeah, I just don't think that's going to happen. Next, Ingram, I don't know what temperature you want to call this, but these are the guys that we feel like we don't necessarily think they're likely – but we can't rule them out. Like, they're better suggestions. Like if you told us it happened, we wouldn't tell you you're just totally crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. For those that are fans of The Wire, I suggested that maybe we could call these, like, the 40-degree days and then have our producer drop in a clip. And I went and listened to that clip, and there's not 3 seconds that we could put in here and use it all. So, I don't know what these are. These are just a kind of a lukewarm, put these maybe up to, you know, high 40s, low 50s, something like that.
Okay, so hit me with the first one. Who do we have?
We have Mike London, former defensive, former many things. Most recently, head coach at UVA and is currently coaching at Howard, the HBCU there in the D.C. area.
I'm cool with it. Yeah, I think Mike London's a very good coach. Now, does he actually want to leave Howard as a head coach to go be a DC? We know he knows Jimbo because he has a child with Fanconi anemia, as does Jimbo Fisher. Mm-hmm. He has experience in the ACC, and London's also a strong recruiter, very strong recruiter. I can't totally rule this out. What I don't really know is, like, what's his philosophy as a play caller? You know, he's not been a defensive coordinator since 2007. I mean, I doubt he figured out how to do it, but... I mean, he was with DJ Durkin in 2016 at Maryland. You know, that could be interesting. He's 57, though, and is, you know, so he'll be 58 next year. I don't know if that really fits with trying to get younger, but it's possible, I guess.
I think this one's kind of aptly in the proper temperature. I mean, there would be parts of that I'd be interested in and parts that I might be a little skeptical of. But I'm probably letting more of London, the head coach, influence my opinion as to what he would potentially be as a defense coordinator. John Chavis, not getting any younger with that hire either, but an interesting name on the board.
I mean, a really proven guy A&M's defense is about the only thing that's playing well this year in Texas A&M. Their offense certainly isn't doing much. He was forever at Tennessee, and then he went to LSU for 5 years and did an excellent job there. I think he's done a pretty solid job at Texas A&M. If Kevin Sumlin gets fired and you could pick John Chavis up on the cheap, that might not be the worst idea in the world. I feel like he could do a good job. Now, he's not the best recruiter in the world, and I don't think he's the best possible candidate, but he makes 1.5 right now. I don't think he's going to make 1.5 if Sumlin gets fired.
Another interesting name here, Bud, and one that you hear a lot about from the fan base with multiple openings, but Corey Raymond, currently at LSU.
Yeah, look, Jimbo obviously knows Corey Raymond. He played there under Nick Saban, didn't he?
Corey Raymond, yeah. I mean, they're certainly familiar with each other.
He was an intern in 06 at LSU.
That's right. So he was on the staff of, like, everybody, basically, of Muschamp,
yes,
Jimbo,
exactly.
Dawsey, all the, yeah, okay.
He was also on some, I believe, Bo Pelini Nebraska staffs, and then he's been at LSU as the assistant head coach / DB coach from 2012 to present. Now, he doesn't have any play calling experience. I do like that he's worked for both Dave Aranda and Bo Pelini. I think that those are pretty good defensive influences to have, and Dave Aranda is an excellent coach. But I have him in the maybe category simply because I feel like if Jimbo Fisher is going to take a chance on a guy who has not called plays, I think that he is so married to the Saban defensive system that's the only type of guy he would be willing to go after who doesn't have actual play calling experience. Does that make sense? Like,
yep,
Raymond's, I think Raymond's an excellent candidate if you're going to go with a guy who's a great recruiter and a sharp defensive dude. But I just, that's why he's in the maybe category, because he doesn't have a Saban connection. And we know the guys that Fisher looks at for this are very much Saban connections somehow.
Really interesting name next here, Bud. And a guy that, if you're going to talk about people that are currently coaching in Athens, you're probably going to talk about another guy before him. But, interesting background with Glenn Schumann. He certainly checks a couple boxes.
Yeah, dude. An emailer told us that Glenn Schumann's grandfather was on FSU's first football team. He's the inside linebacker coach for Georgia. And that his grandfather also started the FSU circus. So that's kind of cool. He's part of the Bama coaching tree. Younger guy. I think that certainly could make some sense there for Florida State. So he's one of the coaches on the Georgia staff that you certainly hear a lot.
Mm-hmm. Bob Shoup, Tennessee's defense coordinator, more probably familiar with his work from his time in Happy Valley and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, look, Bob's a little bit older, for sure, but very much proven. And I think that given, he's only 51, which is not like crazy old. And given like what has gone on at Tennessee, right, under Butch Jones and all the injuries they've had on defense, I think it probably makes more sense to evaluate what he did between 2011 and 2015, where he was at Vanderbilt and Penn State. He did a tremendous job at both of those stops. In fact, a lot of people will tell you that the reason why James Franklin got the Penn State job was his recruiting and Bob Shoup's coaching. Which I don't disagree with. 51, I could totally see it. Now, he's definitely sort of a Northeastern guy. His jobs almost always have been sort of like Mason-Dixon line or north. Go back. He's from Pennsylvania. He's coached Tennessee, Penn State, Vandy, William & Mary, UMass, Columbia, BC, Army, Villanova, Yale, Northeastern, UVA, and again, Yale. I mean, really bright guy. I think the lack of the Southern connection and the lack of the Saban connection is why I would probably say no, but if they hired him, I would certainly think that that's a good hire, to be honest.
Yeah. Another really interesting name here, Bud. I personally would like to have this guy on the board, maybe not at the position of defensive coordinator, but would love to see if Florida State could make room for him somewhere on defense. Tony Picaro, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. He is Southern Miss's defense coordinator.
Yeah, look, he's a Florida State guy. His wife used to work at Florida State. Look, Tony's a really good coach, and Southern Miss is a top 25 type defense this year. And I can tell you, as a recruiting guy, whenever I pull up a thing, I'm like, all right, who's offered this kid that I'm seeing at a camp or at a high school that I'm stopping by? A lot of the time, the first guy to offer is Tony. That guy grinds. I mean, that's very much something like James Coley used to do, and find dudes and be willing to throw offers to them and trust the evaluation. I think that he would definitely be – now, he doesn't make very much money.
I feel mildly uncomfortable, but isn't that like 145 or 185, something like that? Enough that as soon as I heard the figure, I'd be like, yeah, you could definitely hire him to be your linebackers coach.
Yeah. It was like a $125 or some craziness.
Yes. I like it. I like it, bud. Give him a chance to multiply his earnings by three, not necessarily even have to give him the DC job.
$125,000,
Ingram. Yep.
But he's eligible for a maximum bonus of $10,417.
Ooh. Well.
So that could bring him up to $135,000.
I won't go into my personal life, but that's a bonus that I might try to negotiate a little bit if I was him.
So. Well, okay. On a percentage basis, though, that is an excellent bonus.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Tony is potentially able to earn 10% of his salary in bonus form. And a lot of these guys, once you get up to like Bud Foster money, you know, they're not giving him like a $400,000 bonus.
That's true.
I would like to see him as like a linebacker coach on the staff.
That's true. But if we're going to talk percentage-wise, I like the idea of tripling his salary and offer him as a position coach.
Yeah, you could say, Tony, here's $400, which is really nice, and come help us recruit in Tallahassee and be a great linebackers coach for a little bit. And, I think that could be a really good spot there.
Things work out. You'd be first in line for internal promotion. So, all right, somebody that we both think highly of and somebody that you've mentioned numerous times in Tony Picaro.
Oh, I also like that Tony has play calling experience, right? Multiple years of play calling experience, which is good because I think sometimes as a DC, you may need somebody to help you out and say, hey, I feel like we're getting into a rhythm or a pattern of this. We're calling this too often, or hey, here's how we did this at Southern Miss. The defensive coordinator may tell you to go, to F off, but he also might say, hey, I appreciate it. I really think that's something we could implement here or try. We talked about, hey, if they were to dismiss Charles Kelly during the middle of the season, who would actually call plays for FSU? And that's an issue because the answer is they don't really have anybody currently.
Durante Jones, Miami Dolphins defensive back coach.
I don't know much about this guy, to be honest, but that's an exciting name. I mean, to have an NFL defensive backs coach is a name that, like, I think that's encouraging. You know, I don't know enough about him. I think only one person actually emailed us about him. But, oh, okay, this was the guy. He was at Wisconsin for a little while, and then he was at Hawaii before that.
That's right.
There's potential there. I don't know if he has any interest in going back to the college game. A lot of these NFL guys do not want to go back to college, man. Like, it's just so much better to coach in the NFL. You don't have to deal with recruiting. You don't have to deal with, oh, this kid liked another coach's post on Instagram or none of this craziness, right? You go to minicamp, you do your coaching. When minicamp's done, you're done. You don't have to scout. You got scouts for that. You just show up and coach and go home, and you make better money too. Like, that's why NFL jobs are a lot better.
Yep. Brian Gene Murray, South Florida's defense coordinator, formerly at Texas and Louisville.
Dude, I think this is a good name. I mean, he's Charlie Strong's DC now. He did a good job at both Louisville and Texas. Young African-American candidate. And I think that could be a good name to know. The only thing is, does Fisher want to run a Charlie Strong defense? Or does he want to run a Nick Saban-style defense? They're certainly from different families.
Harlan Barnett, Mississippi State defensive coach.
Michigan State.
Or Michigan State, excuse me. Defensive back coach. He's previously coached at Georgia, and I think he and Fisher were together briefly over where I put him in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. When Fisher was there in 2003, Barnett was actually a GA on that staff. So Fisher certainly knows this guy. Michigan State has had excellent defenses under Mark D'Antonio for a long time. I wouldn't hate the move. I think Harlan is like in his 50s, I'm pretty sure. He doesn't strike me as a guy who's like super old. I'm guessing younger or lower 50s. Oh yeah, he's actually 50 on the nose. He was at LSU as a GA. He was at Cincinnati for 3 years under. Would that be Brian Kelly actually,
or Butch Jones?
I think Butch Jones was after, but I'm not sure. No, it's actually before Brian Kelly.
Okay,
at Cincinnati 2004-2006. Then he's been at Michigan State since 2007. DB coach. For 7 years, and then the last 3 years, DB coach / assistant defensive coordinator. So that's a good name to know for sure. I can't rule that one out, although I don't know that he has any other real connection other than the connection as being a GA. But it's at least a name that Fisher knows, right? Like, I think if you told him, hey, Harlan Barnett, he would say, oh, yeah, for sure. right? That's encouraging.
Chad Glasgow, Bud, TCU's defense coordinator.
He replaced Dick Bumpus, who, that's a real name, by the way, Dick Bumpus.
It's a hell of a name. Yep, love it.
Thing with taking TCU's defense coordinator is they run a very unique system, right? They run where a lot of times, like, one side of their defense is doing one thing and the other side does the other. And that's a really, really cool thing. It gives a lot of people fits. But TCU's got a lot of money. A lot of money. And, you know, I wonder, they could probably match any offer FSU makes, but you can also, you can put up really good stats as FSU's defensive coordinator because Jimbo Fisher kind of kneecaps his offense pretty hard with how he calls the offense. I'm not trying to go on a rant about this again, but, you know, when you play this slow, it makes your offensive numbers look worse. It makes your defensive numbers, your traditional ones at least, look absolutely amazing because you're only having to defend about 65 or 70 plays a game as opposed to 80 or 90. So while it does create a lot of unfortunate close losses for you, your defensive numbers look good. So I think you could be attractive there. The question is, you know, it's true. Does he want to leave Gary Patterson? I'm sure he likes working for that defensive system, but that could be cool to see in Tallahassee. They certainly have a lot of experience defending the spread in the Big 12, and you know, you're more than likely going to have a spread, you know, spread coach at Florida, and more than likely, I mean, Miami looks like they're going very much spread now, and Clemson already runs one. So people talk about building your team to beat Nick Saban, but I think the better goal is build your team to beat your rivals, and having a coach with a lot of experience defending the spread would make a lot of sense.
John Papoukas, a guy who's currently in North Carolina, has coached at Nebraska as well recently.
Yeah, I mean, really good recruiter, younger guy. UNC's defense this year is not good, but they also don't have a whole lot of talent on it. I think the Nebraska experience certainly helps a little bit. That was back when they still had Pelini, obviously. You know, Bo's a very good defensive coach. I don't know if we actually found a Fisher connection here for this one. Did you find something on that? Because I don't think I did.
I don't see any official overlap between those two.
He is 39, by the way.
Is it? Okay. Well, that's
intense. Oh, no, yes, there is. There is an LSU connection with Peaches. He was actually an intern and then a GA at LSU from 04 to 07. Fisher overlaps the three of those 4 years. So that could certainly be a name to know in this thing. You know, I think that's probably the thing that keeps him out is just the lack of track record. Like, if this is a name you're going to sell to boosters, I mean, you're saying, okay, I'm going to take UNC's defensive line or, you know, defensive coach. They really haven't been great at UNC. He had good but not necessarily elite-level defenses under Pelini at Nebraska. Certainly the guy could have learned, and Fisher knows him, but I don't know if he's proven enough to be the guy you can really sell to boosters.
Understand. Tim DeRuiter, Bud, Cal's defense coordinator.
Tim DeRuiter's a damn good defensive coach, a really good defensive coach. One of the issues I have there is age, right? I mean, DeRuiter is – God, he's got to be – wow, he's only 54? Tim DeRuiter looks a lot older than 54. I'm not trying to be mean there. But he's also a West Coast dude. He played at the Air Force. He was the Air Force head coach, assistant head coach. He did a pretty good job at Texas A&M, to be honest. Then he was the Fresno State head coach. Did a really bad job as the Fresno State head coach. I mean, they started out 9-4, 11-2, and then they went 6-8, 3-9, and 1-7, and they got canned. But as a defensive coach, Tim DeRuiter is a hell of a defensive coach. Cal is playing really good defense relative to their talent level this year. He was a good defensive coach at Texas A&M, a really good defensive coach at Air Force, experienced defending the spread, experiencing, you know, defending, you know, some of the more power offenses out there. But I don't think Fisher actually has a legitimate connection to him, one. And two, I'm sure he's a guy that at 54 wants to get back and be a head coach again. And is more of a West Coast dude. So those are the reasons why I don't think he really will be. But if you told me Florida State got Tim DeRuiter, I'm taking that all day because he's a really good defensive coach.
Brian Flores, currently on the Patriots staff, safety and linebackers coach.
I don't know anything about this guy, like, other than the fact that he's been on the Patriots for about a decade. Not surprisingly, the Patriots are like Fort Knox with information, and they do not release a lot of information about Brian Flores. I guess it's good that he's been a safety and linebackers coach under Bill Belichick for a while. Like, you got to trust the guy if you're Belichick. Also, this is kind of one of the examples. Do you really want to leave NFL coaching to go be a college coach? It seems like this guy's got a pretty good NFL track record and probably doesn't want to go be a college coach and deal with kids.
It's tough when you're in the league for 10 or 11 years and then think about moving back to college and some of the responsibilities that are necessary with it. Coaching isn't a fantastically easy lifestyle at any level, but the demands that are made on college coaches are different and really way more all-encompassing. Torian Gray, bud, defensive backs coach for the Redskins, coached at Florida some, coached at Virginia Tech, coached defensive backs at Virginia Tech for, what,
like a decade?
I mean, significant period of time. Really, really pretty intriguing candidate, in my opinion.
Young guy, though. I mean, he's only 43 years old. Yeah. Yeah, I really think that he almost might be in the more, like, realistic slash desirable category that we'll have next. But, I mean, Torian Gray, dude, I think he did a good job at Florida. Vitek's DB coach for a decade. He's from Lakeland, Florida. He's a good recruiter. He's only 43 years old. If you told me Florida State grabbed Torian Gray, I'm cool with it. I think he'd do a good job. Now, doesn't have the play calling experience, which is certainly no play calling experience and no Saban connection is why I don't have him in like the real likely. Again, I think if Jimbo's going to take a guy who doesn't have play calling experience, my guess is that he's going to take a guy who's got a real Saban connection. I think that's the only way he would make the exception for you don't have a play calling experience, but you are connected to Nick somehow. So I'm going to take the chance on you. But the credentials there, other than play calling, I think are really strong.
Final name in this kind of medium to mild list here, Bud, Travis Jones, a guy that always gets brought up seemingly when there's talk about open position coaches on the defensive side of the ball. In this instance, obviously, it would be the coordinator job, but Seattle's defensive line coach, coached at LSU with Saban in the previously mentioned time period that we referenced, and again, a pretty intriguing prospect in his own right.
Indeed. Certainly Jimbo knows Travis Jones. The only thing I would say is that, like, Jimbo does seem to want a guy who calls the defense, like, back to front, right? Guy experienced coaching defensive backs, maybe linebackers, probably not D-line. And so that's one of the reasons why I have Travis Jones on my kind of in the middle list there.
Mm-hmm. All right, bud. Before we transition to only but the hottest prospects that make up our hot board, no better time than to remind people that we're currently recording at 11 o'clock on the 16th of the month, which means when this will be released, it'll be the 17th. And 17th means only but one thing, and that is that it's the Reuben Day at Madison Social. A lot of talk about Reubens recently nationally. I've kind of tried to disparage Subway's attempt at one during a podcast, I don't know, two or three pods ago. Nobody's doing a fake Reuben when you head down to Madso. Something that we've literally talked about since one of the first ad reads that we've ever done with them. And just a fantastic product. And Madison Social is about putting out a consistent product that is always just, you know, you're going to have a solid experience. And kind of the Reuben is emblematic as that as anything on the menu.
I'm all about it, dude. The Reuben is really great. Madison Social is a great place to go. They're a great sponsor for us. And look, man, we don't want to take bad sponsors. We want to take good sponsors. And Madso is just a great place. And so is Township and Centrale and now Soto. It seems like everything those guys touch really do well. And there's a reason for that. I mean, it's a commitment to quality and a great experience for customers. So definitely hit up Madison Social. And we held the ad read till later in the show because we knew a lot of people would probably skip towards the end. And so that's how you get that targeted advertising on the Nolcast.
Derek Hansley, bud. A name that I think a lot of people, since they pressed play on this, been looking for us to cover. I'd say he and probably the next candidate are the kind of the leaders in the clubhouse. A guy who I mentioned previously, a couple candidates checked a lot of boxes. Ansley may damn near check every box that you could have for this position. So really interesting background and a pretty compelling prospect. Although there may be one thing that both of us have a little bit of curiosity about exactly how it would transfer.
If you're going to take a guy who doesn't have play calling experience, right, you want to have a lot of recommendations. And I think with Ansley, that's the biggest box that he's going to check because he was a Saban GA from 2010 to 2011. He was with Mark Stoops at Kentucky from 13 to 15, so 3 years with Mark. And he's been the DB coach with Alabama for the last 2 years, 16 and 17. So that is 7 years that he's coached with guys who you know really well, who you think will shoot you straight in Nick Saban and Mark Stoops. You can call them up and you can say, hey, I got a problem in defensive coordinator. I got to make a change in defensive coordinator. Do you believe Derek can make that leap? Is he bright enough? Does he show enough leadership in your meeting rooms? You know, does he have that kind of understanding of not only teaching technique, but also teaching scheme and helping coordinate other coaches? Certainly, this is going to be a bit of a leap of faith from Saban and them, because there's certain responsibilities that Ansley doesn't have. But there's also, I think, the ability to extrapolate some of the stuff he has. And the last time you called up Nick Saban and said, hey, what do you think about this guy? That guy worked out pretty well. Now, granted, he got to coach the most talented defense in Florida State history in Jeremy Pruitt, and only coached 1 year. And we don't know what would have happened if he stayed around longer. Didn't do so well at Georgia. I think Ansley, credential-wise, makes a lot of sense. He's 35 years old. He makes $395,000 at Bama, so it's not like the buyout would be insane, if there even is a buyout. This might be his last year of his contract there, and you know, that'll be renewed, I assume, if he doesn't go to FSU. But there is a question I have, and that is, how much credit does he get for Bama's DBs? Simply because, think about the other DB coaches on that staff.
Yeah.
It's Jeremy Pruitt and Nick Saban.
Yeah, this is the question about him.
He's the third in line, basically.
His other experience helps to make me feel a little bit better about that, but you're absolutely right. Okay, so you're working on a staff where the position is taught hands-on by the head coach and is kind of his baby, and he probably is the best defensive back coach of all time, certainly at the college level. Nick Saban I'm referencing. Then you have Jeremy Pruitt, who is absolutely a secondary coach. And
a good one.
And a damn good one, absolutely. And then Ansley. So you're right. I am a little hesitant there, but really the rest of his experience makes me feel a little bit better. But again, you're talking about a guy who coached under Stoops as well. So how much has he been directly responsible for the secondary? I do have a slight amount of hesitation with.
Now look, I know that Jeremy coaches inside linebackers in title, and I'm sure he does. And Nick is still the primary DB coach on that team, as he was even when Jeremy was there. But you know that Jeremy's got to have some kind of input on DBs at Bama's practices too, right? At the same time, I do think it's reasonable to infer that Ansley has more input on the DBs than Pruitt does, since Pruitt does coach the inside linebackers officially. And I think he actually does do that. Now, we don't know about Bama's shadow coaching staff and how many dudes they have come out, you know, once they send the media away. But I think I agree with you. There's some question there as to, you know, how do you separate Nick Saban's influence and Jeremy Pruitt's influence from Derek Ansley's influence? That's why you're going to have to really hope for an honest evaluation from Stoops and Saban, which I think you'll get. And if they give you a great evaluation, then hire the guy, because he's a good recruiter. He's young. He's hungry. I could like it.
Another name that's been thrown around a lot, and probably the second name that you hear the most out of the general fan base, and that is
And I know you hear this a lot up there as well, up in Georgia.
Popular name up in these parts as well. Kevin Shearer, Georgia's linebacker coach.
Yeah, I mean, a younger guy who's certainly hungry, you know, has worked on that Georgia staff with Kirby Smart. And he was the director of player development on Nick Saban's staff from like 2010 to 2012. He does have play calling experience here. He was the South Alabama DC for a while, and he's also coached under Jeremy Pruitt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shearer is a holdover at Georgia from when Pruitt was there, because he was the linebacker coach for Pruitt. Now, Shearer has more experience coaching linebackers than defensive backs, but I do think that classifies sort of as more the back end of the defense, you know, than like say like a defensive line coach. How old is he, by the way? He's not that old.
No, he's not.
He is a really good recruiter for sure. Kids are always talking, you know, at Kevin Shearer. Kevin Shearer, he's a Southern guy from Alabama. I know that probably matters to Fisher some. Oh, he was also the coordinator at Spain Park, and which is a high school. He's come up. I think that's one of the reasons why he knows kids so well and why he recruits so well, because he was a high school coach. You know, he was one of those dudes that Saban hired as a director of player personnel from the high school ranks. He was also at Hoover.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't he part of the two-a-day staff there?
Pretty sure he was, yeah.
Staff that was profiled in a MTV TV show for those that weren't immediately familiar. Same show that whether it was scripted or not, I just still give them credit for that they put a plate of asparagus in front of Jeremy Pruitt, and he acted as though
And he didn't know what it was?
It was something brought from the planet Jupiter or something like that. So, yeah, hilarious. Absolutely. For what it's worth, Kevin Shearer is listed as a 44-year-old.
That would make sense because he's 96 graduate of Bama. I was a 2007 graduate, so I'm 11 years younger. I'm 32, about to be 33. So, yeah, I think that's probably accurate. Look, that would make a lot of sense, getting him. I don't think you're going to get Mel Tucker, as we already discussed. What about T-Rob?
Tavares Robinson, guy at South Carolina. Now, here's where, if you have the shadow conversation, you could particularly apply it here. Defense coordinator at South Carolina, obviously that's Will Muschamp's baby and a guy that's going to get credit from the vast majority of the population, and at least that follows college football, for the success of that unit. A guy that is really highly thought of on the recruiting trail and would be a pretty significant hire. And I think there's probably a decent amount of variance with T-Rob. That could be a home run, or that could be, you know, that could be a little bit of a disappointing hire in retrospect.
Young guy. He's 36, right? Which is excellent recruiter. I mean, T-Rob is one of the best recruiters in the nation. Did a great job at defensive backs at Florida. I think this is a good opportunity to go get a guy who wants to get out of Muschamp's shadow. And like you said, it's how do you separate it? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Certainly, he's an ace recruiter. He was Auburn's defensive backs coach under Muschamp as well. In fact, he's been with Muschamp since 2011. I looked for a connection between the two, and the only one I could find is this. Jimbo was at Auburn from 93 to 98. Jimbo was definitely their South Florida recruiter, and T-Rob is from South Florida. He went to Coral Park.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Fisher went to Cincinnati in 99, which was T-Rob's first year at Auburn, but there's a good chance that Fisher was actually T-Rob's recruiter when T-Rob was in high school because of the fact that, you know, he would have been his final football season in high school would have been 98 when Fisher was still coaching at Auburn. There's a potential they've actually known each other since high school, which could certainly work. And look, Muschamp's a guy who I'm sure Fisher trusts to shoot him straight. And Muschamp, I think, also understands, hey, Florida State's a lot better job than South Carolina is. You know, if you go to Florida State and you kill it under Jimbo Fisher, you're probably going to get a head coaching job. You're not going to go get a head coaching job from being Will Muschamp's DC at South Carolina. That's just not going to happen. So at some point, T-Rob probably, unless you want to go get a real small head coaching job, mm-hmm. He probably needs to make a move. I don't know if now's the time to make a move, but Florida State has a lot more defensive talent than does South Carolina. I would like this move a lot. I really would. I think that he's done a great job there. I understand the idea that maybe that's Will Muschamp's defense, but we could have said the same thing about it being Nick Saban's defense and Kirby Smart's doing a good job. And you know, Jeremy Pruitt did a good job his 1 year in Tallahassee. That to me would make a lot of sense. For whatever reason, other people are not quite as high on that, but I am. I think that, and the recruiting would also kill it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Final name here, bud, Todd Grantham.
I'm not as high on this one as some people are, and I don't think you are either. However, he does have some kind of connection to Jimbo Fisher. I know that they definitely know each other. He was at Georgia from 2010 to 2013, where they had the whole third and Grantham thing.
He was at Dallas and then moved to – he is one of the guys that went from the NFL back to the college game. He was a defensive line coach at Dallas, or – he was coaching defense for the Cowboys.
And the Colts before that, and then he was with the – he was the D.C. for the Cleveland Browns for 3 years, so he's been in the NFL D.C. Granted, it's the Browns in 2005. Todd Grantham is only 51 years old. He's now his background is more defensive line coaching. He did a pretty damn good job at Louisville. The only real concern I have with Grantham is that I do have some concerns about him defending the spread and tempo based on what, you know, some coaches – that I've talked to think they can exploit. I actually had a chance to chat with a couple of them at a coaching convention this summer. They had this idea that, and there's also this certain idea that around the industry that he does some like anger blitzing, like when he gets frustrated, he just starts blitzing a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And people know it's coming.
Does a lot of FU blitzing.
And we kind of saw that against Alabama on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, like it's not like Bama could have known it was coming because they ran a blitz and then they called timeout and you had to figure, okay, maybe they'll not bring pressure this time, but no, they brought pressure again. Look, I think Grantham would do a really good job. He's not a bad recruiter. He's not like an ace like a couple of the other these guys are. He just wouldn't be in my top three. I know he's in some other people's top three. And he's a proven guy. He's been a defensive coordinator multiple stops. He's done a good job. You know, he's at Mississippi State this year, was at Louisville last year or last couple of years. By the way, Louisville got the short end of that deal, huh? I mean, Peter Sermon, terrible. Todd Grantham, Mississippi State's right up there this year, kind of killing it on defense again. What do you think about Grantham?
Yeah, I'm not wild about Grantham. I'm not wild about some of his philosophies, and you mentioned it there. I'm also, he's just kind of an agent of distraction, to be honest with you. Like, he's going to bring some situations to the program that take away from pure focus on preparation for the next opponent. So,
like the on-field antics type stuff, or
yeah. That's what I mean. And he does lose his mind at times, way too frequently, in fact.
Isn't he the one that tried to? Did he try to fight somebody, or was it a?
He tried to start an altercation with James Franklin while he was coaching at Georgia's defense coordinator. I'm not a wild fan of his.
He later acknowledged that his actions at Barris University were unfortunate. James Franklin did not apologize to him either. Oh, remember he did the choke sign. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
He was doing the like the hands around your neck choke sign to Florida's kicker.
Right.
When he lined up.
Ah, that's right. That's right. He did that too. Yeah, Grantham. Yeah, he's
now that was 8 years ago. In fairness, like there's some chance that he's mellowed out a little bit. He was 41 and now he's 51.
Yeah. There is some chance. I'm not a big fan of him for numerous reasons. He's a decent recruiter, but I'm just not sure how much that would fully carry over at this point. So it would be a risky move and one that I'm not sure would be very well received. And he's not cheap either. No, he's not.
Yeah, I think that's another key thing to remember. Like he's definitely not cheap, and I'm guessing he's on a multi-year dealer. He makes $675, so that's not cheap at all.
Yeah. Well, he's on the first year of a deal at Miss State. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Tavares Robinson makes $750, but it seems like there's only 1 year left on his deal. Scherer makes $375. Ansley makes $395. What do you think the chances are that we've covered Florida State's next defensive coordinator in the show tonight?
85%.
85? Okay.
Yeah.
God, I was going to say like 95, but that's still pretty high. I feel like we've given a pretty good rundown here.
I think we have. I just always think you could catch something out of the blue. And you're right. It may be a little bit higher than that, but there's always a name in the back of Jimbo's pocket that might be surprising to people.
That's probably fair. The one thing we don't know is like I don't know NFL coaches like I know college coaches. So mm-hmm. If Fisher is some kind of NFL dude up his sleeve, like an ace we don't know about, then we may get caught just completely unaware. But I feel like we've covered most of the bases. And hey, we had 140 responses to that tweet asking for defensive coordinator candidates. That's pretty awesome, dude.
Absolutely, very, very awesome. I'll tell you what else has been awesome is the response for our trying to hit 1,000 five-star reviews by Christmas. So we're on a strong trajectory to do that. Still got some work to do, but very much appreciate all the people that took time to do that. It would be a nice little milestone for us, and maybe we could try to find something to do in recognition of it. So for those of you that took the time, very much appreciated, and a lot of you did. So if you've listened to this or if you listened to any of the podcasts that we've done, and could find, you know, 2 to 3 minutes that's necessary to leave us a review, it's very much appreciated, and it's a major impact on what the podcast is able to do and market itself moving forward.
Absolutely. We love the reviews, and they're excellent. Hey, do you want to play the game where you read the review and you guess how, and people guess how many stars they gave us? This is pretty good, by the way.
Yeah, we'll do that. So we were looking at our count beforehand, and we didn't have a particular starred review, or I think we had, but maybe one. So any review is appreciated, and I'll just say that. All right, bud. Just started listening this season, and I'm hooked. Love the honest, straightforward approach that they take and really trust their assessments. I find myself consistently refreshing to see if any new episodes have popped up. By far the best college football podcast out there. Keep up the good work. Go Noles.
That sounds like a really good review, man. I'm going to guess it gave us 5 stars.
That would have all the characteristics of a 5-star review. Gentlemen there thought that a 3-star review would be appropriate, and I'm not. Hey, look.
3 out of 5, right?
3 out of 5, yeah. I was going to say. There's certainly okay. Probably been some times that that we've done things that maybe not everybody's thought that a five-star review was necessary, but that one just stood out to me. That was an interesting feedback and maybe a little bit of a different selection than I first would have thought.
That is a Xavier Rhodes of reviews, right? Like, that is like one of the best three-star type reviews we've ever received.
Man, Xavier, I'm so happy for so many kids from that, you know, brief window of time that have made themselves a significant amount of money. But I'd say maybe Xavier and Telvin Smith. Well, and how can anybody not be thrilled for what Chris Thompson's done as well? And Bud, we need to like maybe grab some Pink Floyd money or something like that and just drop this in periodically. It's not breaking news by any means, but hats off to Timmy Jernigan signing his contract, getting himself some generational changing money as well. It seems like about every other week right now we are reading about one of the Florida State players from that kind of 2010 to 2014 window that are signing really significant contracts and contracts that are kind of going to change the shape of their family tree moving forward.
And, we're $500 million earned in money. Okay. Or quarter million, excuse me, yes.
Quarter nice. Billion, pardon me. So, yeah.
Quarter billion, yeah. Yes. Quarter million would not, no, that's two that U.S., that's two Southern Miss defensive coordinator salaries put together.
Oh, man. Enjoyed doing this pod, and thank you to everybody that gave us a listen. Obviously, a story that we'll continue to follow, and something that we feel fairly confident we'll be able to give you a pretty good idea as to the direction that Florida State's ultimately moving in.